A Port Kennedy home raided, a bull shark tagging program rolled out, and the footy returns tonight. It's Thursday, the 16th of March.
West the West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate. Happy Friday Eve,
Happy Friday, as I like
to call it. Makes Thursday that little bit easier.
just adding that word Friday, it makes everything better. We've almost made it.
We have.
And now we're starting with a dramatic raid in a Port Kennedy home.
Yeah, so police have seized weapons, including a sawn-off shotgun, a gel blaster and a crossbow in this dramatic raid at this home in Port Kennedy in Perth's southern suburbs. How's this? Police had to use a chainsaw to get into the home because it had a heavily fortified front door. I know.
Oh my God.
How's that?
What kind of house is this?
I know. Well, they allegedly found the shotgun in the shower.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So they also raided a nearby storage unit where they say they found suspected drugs. So the homeowner, we're told, and a housemate have been arrested, but no charges have been laid as yet. Yeah, many questions about this one.
Yeah. I think there's some charges that you think will be laid anyway.
Yeah, probably after this.
Yeah, and the tragic death of Stella Berry last month shocked us all, I'm sure. And she was killed by what's believed to be a bull shark in the river in North Fremantle. It was the first shark attack in the river in a century. And there's been an update on what authorities are doing in the river.
Yeah, so for the first time, shark detector beacons are going to be placed in the Swan River to warn swimmers and also give scientists a better idea of what especially bull sharks are doing in the Swan River. We know very little about their movements, about them, largely because a lot of the focus on the tagging program has been on great whites. Mm. So this is the same system that is being used. For example, for great whites, you would see those yellow beacons that are just off the coast, dotted along the Perth coast down south as well. And so if a tag shark comes within 500 metres of the beacon, it triggers an alert. It goes on the Shark Smart website. It's also on the Surf Lifesaving WA Twitter account. And so people can see, oh, there's been a shark there. I might not go for a swim in that place.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really positive development. We haven't heard from Stella's family, but we do know that the government got in touch with her family ahead of this announcement being made to give them the heads up. And the government's hoping that this will give people confidence to return to the river to swim. There's also plans underway for an enclosed area for swimmers to be able to enjoy the Swan River in the Bicton Baths area as well.
Okay.
So there's a few things going on at the moment. I mean, the thing is, unless a shark's tagged, it's not going to be detected by the beacon. So this is why the fisheries officers have been ordered now to start tagging bull sharks in the Swan River in preparation for these beacons being placed. So that requires, obviously, baiting in the river and the like to be able to tag them.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't cause a whole lot of panic with people, but I think it does need to be done. Am I right in that I saw that they found, or they may have found, the shark that actually attacked Stella Berry?
I think what they've found is they've done the DNA tests and found, yes, this was a bull shark based on DNA. So they were able to determine that. Obviously, as you mentioned, first fatal attack in the river in a century. So this is not a common occurrence. But I think if, you know, it's put fear in the population and people don't want to use the river. Like, I know very soon afterwards I had a boat trip and we were able to either go swimming in the river or we could go out to Karnak Island. There's seals out at Karnak Island and still we chose Karnak Island.
Snakes.
So, So, I mean, that goes to show you the fear around it after Stella's death.
Yeah, and it is a tragedy. And now a man has been charged after a huge amount of cash was found on him.
Yes, how's this? $300,000 allegedly found in the man's carry-on luggage at Perth Airport. So we're told he was preparing to board a flight from Perth to Sydney. He was going through security, and security called in the Australian Federal Police after they allegedly found this cash. So the man has been charged with dealing with property reasonably suspected of being crime proceeds. The reason he has been charged with that is he couldn't provide sufficient detail, apparently, as to why he had $300,000 in his carry-on luggage. So if convicted, he faces 3 years behind bars. The 29-year-old is due to face court again in June.
Wow. Let's hope he finds reasonable explanation.
Reasons to have 300 grand.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
You're lucky to have cash full stop in your wallet these days, aren't you? I don't. Most of my cash actually sits in this like ornamental shell thing. I'm giving this away now, people. This ornamental gold shell thing at home, and Flo comes in and steals most of it. I say
just
steal,
coins
loving
or
it.
Do you
well, there's coins and
notes?
There's a few notes. I've had to move the notes because she wants to take $20 to buy froyos from the canteen at school. I don't even know what a froyo is, but she keeps going, I should just Google it, to be honest. Do you know what a froyo is?
Yeah, I think... Oh, actually, no, I'm getting that confused now.
Is it like some sort of frozen yogurt
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, it's like in a tube and then it's...
Okay. So, I've been wondering what's going on, but she's always saying, like, that she needs 20 cents. And I mean, it's not that much, but my stash is dwindling. I don't know what I was going to be using it for anyway.
Endless amounts of froyo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, it looks like, it's like those Tutti Frutti type things.
Oh, okay.
Do they do that at school? There you go.
They
that's
must
how
do.
That's how across it I am.
Great.
Otherwise I don't really have cash. Certainly have never had $300,000 cash on me, that's for sure.
No, I'd be acutely aware. I'm always, surprised if I find $5. I'm like, how did I manage to have $5 in cash? This is amazing.
How exciting is it when you do find cash, though, when you open that zip in the backpack and it's like, oh, I forgot I put this here in 2005.
There's a coffee for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And now speaking of cash, it seems that COVID, now that it's pretty much over, we've seen a fair few studies conducted on our behaviour during that time. And I don't think anyone can judge us on our behaviour during that time. It was a wild time.
Unprecedented times, Kate.
<Yeah. laughs> And one new study looked at our spending, particularly for those people who took money out of their super accounts. You know, the Morrison government allowed people who were on JobSeeker or were eligible to withdraw from their super. And the results are pretty surprising.
Well, what did people spend their money on?
So this comes from a paper called Early Pension Withdrawal as Stimulus. And the Morrison government was expecting people, maybe about 1.2 million people to take from their super and about $28 billion out of their super. But 2.6 million Australians...
So many, many more than they
many,
expected.
Many, many more. They drained $38 billion out of their super accounts.
Billion. What did they buy?
So some of it is on gambling.
Oh, so that money just went back to the government.
And takeaway, yeah.
Oh, furniture and takeaway. Okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised because if you look at it, we were stuck at home. So people want to make their space a little nicer and change of scenery. Mm-hmm. Takeaway meals, no one could be bothered. You had to go to the supermarket. You would have been exposed potentially to COVID. So that makes sense. Yeah, gambling. I mean, people were just looking for any sort of fun, weren't they, then?
Yeah. And it's interesting because, we were just talking about cash. But during COVID, nowhere was taking cash.
No.
But some people withdrew more than $1,000 from ATMs at a time. I think there was like some...
I wonder if that's kind of perhaps like the wiser generation who lived through the war years used to tucking some cash under the bed.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So this, while it is, a bit of a funny thing to look at, what people were spending, and this study showed that... while the government wanted people to withdraw money so that they could, fund their future and not be stuck in a debt black hole, it just showed that really they spent it on, short-term things.
Yeah.
And they've deprived themselves of $120,000 in retirement savings by withdrawing the...
That money.
Yeah,
so
people withdrew
grown.
The full $20,000.
$20,000
amount. Yeah.
Okay, over the course of their super account or whatever, their lifetime.
Yeah, and so people, to qualify, they had to be made redundant, had their hours cut by at least 20%, be a sole trader or suffered a 20% downturn in trade. So, you could see why this whole thing was set about.
Yeah,
because
you would
people.
Think, oh, they need to pay their rent, they need to pay their bills. And
yeah, but they spent it on gambling. Which is pretty interesting.
Sport.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a massive footy fan, but I do enjoy my footy, and it returns tonight.
It just feels better when the footy's on.
Yeah.
There's something about it. It's a real cultural thing, isn't it, for us? It's like everything in the world is okay.
Things are back to normal.
Yeah.
So Richmond take on Carlton at the MCG.
It's going to be a blockbuster, this one.
I think so. There were concerns, though, whether the ground would be ready after Ed Sheeran. And I think there's similar concerns with Optus.
Yeah, they've been at Optus Stadium repairing, although I think it's 10 days until they host their first game. But the combination of that record crowd and the elaborate set destroyed the grass. This was all planned for. It's not something like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? They knew this was going to happen. So they've been busy replacing the grass and getting it underway. So we're told it will all be ready for the first game at Optus Stadium. And we saw the same thing happened at the MCG. Yeah. They're obviously ready for it tonight.
Yeah,
I think 90,000 odd. Crowd at the MCG they're expecting. Wow. Not as many as Ed Sheeran, but, you know, you can't have footy fans on the ground while they're playing.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure they wouldn't have had Ed Sheeran at Optus if both teams were playing, or at least one of them was playing at Optus.
I think Ed Sheeran was probably locked in first, and then Optus Stadium has said, well, we can't host a game until X date.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's played out.
Yeah, exactly. So both the Eagles and Dockers are playing at Marvel Stadium. So West Coast take on North Melbourne on Saturday. That's at 10:45 a.m. Melbourne time, so 12:45 for us. And the Dockers take on St Kilda on Sunday. Bounce down is at 1:40, so 3:40 p.m. for us. And looking at local footy, a high-profile name has been removed from a competition.
Yes, Barry Cable's name has been removed from a junior footy competition with the once-revered sporting grade in the spotlight, of course, over historical child sex assault allegations. So there's a Barry Cable Cup. Well, there was a Barry Cable Cup that had been named in his honour, and this is a competition of Year 11s and 12 students in the Perth metro area. But after five women have gone public accusing the 79-year-old of abusing them when they were teenagers, it's been decided that his name will be removed from the competition, so it will now just be known as the Senior Schoolboys Cup. Obviously, he has denied all these allegations. He has not been charged. The trial that has been underway is a civil trial, and we still have to wait to see where the charges will be laid in the wake of the judgment. But we don't even know when the judgment is going to be yet. That hasn't been announced. But it's interesting that this step has already been taken. Obviously, you know, they don't want the competition, especially given that it involves children, you know, being associated with what's going on in the courts, even though a judgment is yet to be made.
Yeah, I think they're just taking precautions.
Yes.
The Wild West.
Now, usually Wild West stories, you know, are fun and all that, but I think
Is it not
pretty
fun today?
It is fun. It's just more wild than fun. So more than 7,000 tons of rubbish, I can't even fathom, my brain can't even fathom that.
That's a lot.
Has piled up in Paris because the bin collectors have gone on strike.
Oh, they love a protest in France, don't they?
Yeah, this also happened in Scotland last year. The bin collectors went on strike because they wanted better pay. This time, the bin lorries have been grounded at depots. At least three waste incinerators in Paris are at a standstill. And
so is it 7,000 tons?
Yes.
Okay, so 1 ton is 1,000 kilos.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot of rubbish.
And people are saying that it's
smelly,
it's dirty, it's attracting rats and cockroaches.
So what are they going to do about it?
So they're striking because
they want more money.
The Emmanuel Macron is proposing to raise the pension age from 62 to 64.
This is a part of that.
Yeah, generally rubbish collectors retire at 57, so they would end up retiring at 59.
Okay.
So yeah, they're saying we'll go on for another week. They've been going for like 9 days or something.
Retiring
already
at 59 sounds pretty good, though.
Retiring at 57 sounds pretty good. Yeah. So we'll see just how smelly Paris can get.
Thoughts and prayers for Paris this morning.
Exactly. And that's your news from the West Australian for Thursday, March 16. Don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Thanks, Maddie. Chat tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Kate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Kate Ryan.